To my Spanish friends this morning, hola. Dios te bendiga. Amen. God bless you. I'd like to pray, and then I have a message for you, and I'll tell you a bit about how the Lord gave me this message. Father God, I thank you that we're all gathered together in your house today, one family under heaven, one family part of your family. We share your DNA. We're just so grateful for you, God, that you chose us for such a time as this. I pray that today's message is useful for people in their lives. It's a good daily bread for them, that there's some fresh bread that comes from today's message, and that whoever hears this today can take what you have for them into their week and multiply their joy throughout the week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How are you all doing anyway? Just generally speaking, we have a bit of chit-chat from stage. Is that okay? Everyone's feeling good? Anyone need some special prayer or anything? We're okay, because we can do that at the end. And I think at the end of today's service, I just want to put the end at the beginning. I think it'd be a really good opportunity today for boldness. You know, I was I flicked through my Bible and I flicked through my notes and I flicked through a whole bunch of stuff during praise and worship. Every time I'm going to share a message, and I'm like, Lord, surely you've got, is there anything else? Any more juice I can squeeze out of this orange today? And in the back of my Bible, which I've had this Bible for a while, it says strength and courage. And then I've got my little notebook there, and on the front of my notebook it says be strong and courageous. And then I turned to another part of another note that I had, and it had the word strength and courage. So can everyone just say, I have strength. I am courageous. Good, because we're going to need it today for what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart for you. Because today we're looking at a time that's very different to what we're experiencing. So, you know, Pastor Dave talked about the recent troubles, and it's awful. It's an atrocity what's happened. And there are people that say, oh, this isn't the Australia I grew up in and all that. But, I mean, remember, we had the Kelly gang. I mean, this sort of stuff's been going on for a long, long time in Australia. It kind of reinforces the point, though, that it's so important that we as a body continue to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And to be, what are the two words I said?
Strong and courageous.
People see Christians as weak and meek. Right? Any weaklings here? Nathan, are you a wuss? Look at Nathan. Does he look like a weak Christian? Look at Josh. Is he a weak Christian? No, I'd be scared. If Josh came up to me in an alleyway and preached the gospel message, I'd be giving my heart to the Lord in 5 seconds. We can be in wherever you want today, but today we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to zoom out a little bit. We're going to look at what was happening around that time. We're going to look at the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Then I'm going to zoom right in into a particular area of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to talk about one key verse. Then we're going to talk about how we can make a difference in our own lives and how we can perhaps improve the quality of our life by adhering and applying what's in the Sermon on the Mount in this particular key area to make changes in our lives. Because you see, there's information. Everyone say information. And then there's application. Good that you said it without me even asking. That's good. That means you're with me on this, right? So it's really easy to get information. It's really easy to come and listen to a gospel message. It's really easy to listen to a preacher preach. And if you're at home, it's really easy to listen to the captions on the bottom of the screen. Look at the captions on the bottom of the screen. Nod along. Shut your app down later and go on the way you were. But this is about transformational change. And the transformational change Jesus knew starts with you. Who does it start with?
Me.
Someone said you, someone said me. But these things are important as well. So, and I'm going to talk about this today because you know what? When we talk about problems, oftentimes we go, oh, this is my depression. This is my problem. This is my anxiety. This is my... Stop saying that. Stop owning those issues as your identity. Right? Everyone can agree that we're going to stop owning issues as our identity, right? So at the time of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was being followed by some rather large crowds around Judea, right? And he's starting to build a bit of a groundswell because he was healing people. And there was miracles happening and people were like, who is this guy? We're going to start following him. So this huge crowd of thousands of people started following Jesus around. Jesus started to notice, it says in Scripture. And as Jesus started to notice this, he decided, well, now's a really good time for me to take my disciples aside. And it wasn't just the 12, it was those who were closest to him, those who were following him. He was sort of like the very first early church that were following him around. There's probably about 100 to 200 people there. But there was thousands of people on the outer circle as well, and they were following him around. And he decided, now's a good time for me to take my disciples aside and teach them some stuff. But remember, as he's teaching them, he's speaking to you through time. Because the disciples that were there wrote it down. And so they wrote it down, they recorded what he said so that he can be speaking to them. He can be then speaking to the crowd who had FOMO and wanted to listen in. You know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out, right? So they had the fear of missing out. Just like, listen, thousands and thousands of other people who want to know what we're doing here. They've got FOMO too. They want to know what Christians are all about. They're really curious about what we're doing, even though we've been doing it for thousands of years. They want to know why we still gather together today and talk about joy and happiness and peace and prosperity when there's murder and rampage going on. They want to know why, right? So there's people listening in, and your job, your mission, should you choose to accept it, and you've accepted it just by being here, I'm sorry, you're going to be doing it. Your mission is to take that message out into where? All the world, right? And so what I'm going to share with you today, part of it is for you to take out and share, part of it is for you. Is that cool?
Yeah.
I put some thought into this.
Right.
Thanks, Alex. So imagine, everyone say imagine.
Imagine.
Can you imagine? Everyone can imagine. Actually, one of my staff can't imagine. And she's a great girl, but she has no visual. She's got a thing called aphantasia. She can't imagine. She can't picture things. So if I say to her, can you imagine? She says, no, Grant. Remember, I can't. But you guys hopefully all can. Imagine that you are a Jew. Bless you. You are a Jew. Bless. No, okay. You've got to laugh at my jokes. A Jew. Bless you. Tough crowd. Thank you, Leonie. Leonie's been writing my jokes in the sermon. So you're living in those times. So let's think about the times of Jesus. You are a Jewish person, either by geography or by faith, right? You're living where you're living either because you've been part of a nomadic tribe that has moved to a certain place or you were born there. And the Jews were a nomadic people, and they moved around either by exile or by choice, or they moved with the current markets as well. And at this time, there was a whole bunch of external pressures. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, they believed that at the time that everyone had, you know, free will and they could do whatever they wanted. They're the people who had a lot of money. So they'd be kind of like the big business owners of today. Yeah, they'd be maybe even the Tony Robbinses of today. They want to empower people into freedom. Then there's the Pharisees. And they were the people that would be like the rule makers. And so could you imagine being a young Jewish, I'm going to say bloke, because I can only see through the eyes of a male lens. Imagine being a young Jewish bloke and you've got your mates and they're still humans, the same as we are today. And they're just wanting to knock around and do maybe make some silly decisions and do some silly things and, you know, ride their donkeys fast or whatever they wanted to do. Donkey circle work in the middle of town. Down in Devonport. East Devonport with a hotted up donkey. We're going to have to lay hoof. But you can't do all that because you're going to get in trouble. And then there's the Romans. The Romans. And then you're either going to get in trouble from the Romans, in trouble from the Pharisees, probably getting a bit teased by the world of the Sadducees and whatever you can step into. It would be a tough time to be a human being at that time. I think we have it tough. They had it tough as well. And I was thinking about all this when I thought, you know, Jesus came just at the most unique time, didn't he? I often think, it's probably some other people do as well. Maybe it's weird. I don't know. But like, why didn't he come now when there's Facebook and, you know, he could have his own YouTube channel and all this stuff? be kind of cool. But looking at this, he did. He was an influencer. Jesus was the first influencer. He had so many followers and so many likes. It was really, really cool. He got cancelled, but then he came back, and that was really cool. Like, his comeback was bigger than when he was cancelled, which I thought was really, really cool. Yeah. Somebody said to me the other day, he was so popular, he split time in half with BCAD. I love that. So popular, he split time in half. No one else has done that. So you're in that time and you just want to be happy. Does anyone here want to be happy? I've said before that Christians should be so happy that we're walking around with a flip-top head. You've heard me say that. Smiling, happy. Is everyone smiling and happy? Is there anyone not happy? Be happy. Be happy because Jesus died for you. So just be happy. Right? That's Christianity simplified about as much as it can. So Jesus can see the tension that's happening. He knows what to do. So we're going to have a look at what he shared. The Sermon on the Mount was kind of Jesus' masterpiece, his opus, his thesis, his master thesis. A lot of what he teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, he had been teaching before, he'd been displaying, he'd been living it out. But this was an opportunity to condense everything into one key message, or a message of key messages. Here it is. He said it's a message of love. Now, love is a word that's used so much, but oftentimes doesn't have its truest definition and meaning and outworking. We had, over the weekend, I was painting our front door. And while I was painting the front door, we had on YouTube 80s classic hits. Yes. Huey Lewis. That's the power of love. It was about every second song was about love. The Beatles had about 40, 50 songs with love. Love, love me too, etc. I think just about every movie has a love theme in it somewhere. So because it's around so often, it just gets watered down so much. But love is what we saw on the cross. Love is that ultimate sacrifice for someone else. Love is so much more than just a, hey, I love you, and waiting for, I love you too. Love is an action. Love is a verb. Yeah? Love is not necessarily a noun. It's a verb. It's in the doing. And Jesus says, love your enemies. He says, forgive others. Remember, I'm talking about action steps here. He said to care for the poor and the marginalized. Jesus emphasized the importance of humility. I'm going to say that one again. Jesus emphasized the importance of humility, not false humility, real humility. Not, oh, I did this thing, but I don't want to talk about it. Oh, no, that's not for me. Oh, okay. Real humility. And it's in the doing. He told his followers not to worry about material possessions or outward appearances. Think about the times we live. What are you judged by these days in society? How you look, what you got. When you go to a backyard barbecue and you meet someone for the first time, what do you do for a living? Not who are you as a person. Not tell me some stories about how you love. So you get to change that. So when you go meet people, you can stop asking what they do for a living. You have the power to change society by the decisions you make in the conversations you have and the interactions with people on the next time you have a chance to do it. You can do that change. Starts with this group of people here
and then goes out. That's part of the power of taking the gospel message out into all the world. It's not necessarily about preaching on street corners. If you do that, great, fine, good on you. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be courageous enough yet. Maybe one day. But just by being super interested in a person's character. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Jesus talked about the Beatitudes. And he said, how blessed are. Let's talk about blessed for a moment. Blessed is the word in when we read it now, we might just go, oh, how blessed. But really what it means is that there's a special favor and joy. There's a special favor and joy over that person. A special favor and joy. It's in the freedom, in the happiness and the freedom. It's not making you super spiritual. It's not making you oh so holy when you do these things. It means that it releases shackles from your life and you get to step into freedom. When I spoke with Pastor Dave the other day, I said my heart for this particular church here right now, here in Moona, is to see more happy, smiling, joyful faces. I really want to see that for you.
Yeah.
I really want to see it.
Yeah.
I pray for this. I yearn for this. For a jubilance. If you don't know that one, Google it. Jubilance, joyfulness, happiness. Bursting out of you, from out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Joy, happiness. It starts here with these things. How blessed, how blessed, how happy are those who are poor in spirit? That makes no sense to me initially. But why are we happy when we're poor in spirit? Because we rely on Jesus. We rely on God. We're not relying on our own self-importance. When we have self-importance, we have a lack of humility. Right? It's not just me, is it? Thanks, Sam. No, you're right. Sam. No, you're right, mate. How happy are those who are mournful? All we hear about at the moment is bad news. My mum's great at sending me bad news. Now, that's not a slur on my mum. That's her way of connecting. Right? Did you see the news? And then her next message is, oh no, that's right, I forgot you don't watch the news. And then her next message is, here's what happened. Mum's great, news, sport and weather. We were like, I don't need to check Google, I got mum. Hey Denise. Doo-doo. Again, how blessed are the mournful? Because they cry out to God. We know this.
They don't know yet. They don't know out there yet. Who's going to tell them? When?
Now.
Church dismissed. Put your money where your mouth is. If you're going to, do it. You know what? Simple stuff. I run with Lizzie, the social media here in the church. Y'all don't share the messages. You guys don't get it, or some of you do. 5 on average. Jump on Facebook, share the message, share with your friends. That way this will get out there. Friends of friends will hear it. Friends of friends will see it. Take photos in church. Share them on... Text them to a friend. Even if you're not on social media, text them to a friend and go, guess where I am today? My church. Thank you, Peter. Peter, straight away, bang, taking a photo. Guess what? He's going to send it. I know Peter's a social media dude. How blessed are the meek, how blessed are the hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and persecuted for righteousness' sake. Taught about forgiveness and love. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who... I think it's persecute. It's supposed to be persecute. Who persecute you? I wrote prosecute. That's not... No. It's persecute. Pray for the defense lawyers, not the other ones.
Live life well. Be humble. Don't focus on stuff. Here's one. Be present. We sometimes, don't we? We're having a conversation with someone in a crowd setting, and maybe it's just me that gets this. You know what I'm about to say, don't you, Gaynor? You sometimes see the person that you're talking to looking over your shoulder for someone else to talk to. Few of us know that feeling. We've experienced that. Don't be that person. When you're with someone, be so interested. Be present. Be with them. You might be the only chance they get to experience the Holy Spirit today. You might be the only chance they get to hear a word from God today. Yeah. If you're not present, if you're not listening, if you're not with them, and if you're not engaged, it's actually, I feel sad for you because you're missing out too. For those that give have the most to gain. Okay? But we're going to Matthew 7:3. And this was really tough when I was put on the preaching roster and told that I was going to be sharing a message today. I'm on my knees, literally, not just figuratively. I was praying in my bedroom next to my bed, just like the pictures on the holy pictures from when I was a little boy in Catholic school. Father God, I've been put on the preaching roster. I don't know what to share about. Give me a word. Pastor Dave's talking about family at the moment. I want to enrich what my pastor's teaching. What's that, Lord? Take the plank out of my own eye. Okay. So I start praying about myself. Lord, I don't know if you want to point out some sin areas for me at the moment, Lord, where I'm being a hypocrite. I'm so sorry. I just want you to point them out to me, Lord. Okay, that one, cool. I'll repent of that one. And yep, that one, and no, that one. Okay, and okay, that one as well. Do you mind if I sit for a while, Lord? My knees are hurting. But then, I pray when I'm walking the dog, and I pray when I'm walking around, and I do what the Bible says, and I'm always praying. Sometimes I should be working, but I'm always praying. And don't tell my boss, Terry, if you're listening, welcome to church. But I thought this was really important to share with us as a church. So here's what this verse says in Matthew 7, verse 3. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, but I said, I'll zoom out, then I'm zooming in. This is me zooming in. I'm doing what I said I would do. It says this. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Or other versions say, it does say speck of sawdust, or splinter is what it says in other versions, in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. Some commentators on this say that Jesus was being funny, that he was using a bit of humour, using a bit of tongue-in-cheek as well. But really what he's saying here is, oh, we got feedback from the crowd. This is good. He's saying that you're not perfect. They're not perfect. We've all got stuff, right? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank or moat, big log, in your own eye? Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And I read this verse and I'm like, wow, this is a really tough one, Lord. Give me a better one. Give me Ephesians 3:20 or something, you know, like that's really cool. Because then we talk about all good stuff and all, you know, everyone will be, hey, that was a really encouraging sermon. Well, this will be an encouraging sermon as well if it's not already. But let's talk about what the Holy Spirit gave me to talk about with you in the time I got left. Number one, your filters of perception. If you've got something in front of you this close that's in your eye, you have a blockage. See, there is no... Really, this is going to sound a bit frou-frou, right? But just go with me on this. Nothing means anything except the meaning you assign to it. Okay? Nothing has a meaning until you assign a meaning to it. I've been accused before. I know this is going to be really shocking. I've been accused before of being arrogant. Oh. I know who you are. Yeah. But you know, the person who accused me of that, and it's fine, because I can be, the person who accused me of that knows what it's like to be arrogant as well. And if they didn't, they'd be looking at me going, well, I don't know what he's doing. I've never seen that behavior before. So they look through their filter of what they see and perceive as arrogance to see arrogance, and they know arrogance because they've done arrogance, right? So stop calling me that, please, Jose. No, it's not you. You caught my eye. I love you. But our world, isn't it? It's filtered through our experiences, our hurts, our disappointments. Even our prayers are filtered through that, guys.
Yeah.
I had, ironically, as I'm preparing a message about a splinter in our eye, ironically or non-ironically, I had an eye infection throughout the week. And it got to the point where I had a blister the size of the end of my little finger that was purple on my eyelid, and it was hanging down so heavily I couldn't open my eye and couldn't go to work on Thursday. It was yuck. And I'm walking along. I'm like, righto, I'm preparing this message. Lord, I surrender this eye infection to you. It does not belong in this body. It's yours to deal with now, not mine. And miraculously, it just disappeared. No, it got worse. It got way worse. It got so bad that it was hurting, like it was really hurting. Got home, went to work Friday, got home from work Friday after every single customer, client and staff member went. I'm talking to them about stuff and they're looking at my eye. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. But I told my staff, I said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to pray for my eye again. I'm going to preach on Sunday. I reckon I'll be fine by Sunday. And it's fine. I mean, I've got a scar there now and there's a thing, but it's fine. But the thing here is I gave it to the Lord to deal with. It was physical in my body, but I gave it to the Lord to deal with. And it got worse, but I gave it back to the Lord to deal with because I didn't want to own it. And if you've got stuff, and as I said in the beginning, you've got to say, I didn't say it's my eye infection, heal my eye infection. No, it's just, there's a thing here, it doesn't belong. It's not of you, Lord. It's not right. Take it away. I claim it. I claim the victory. Pray in faith. But we can see through our filters of brokenness. My dad... I love my dad. Mum and dad were over for lunch. But I was going to talk about my parents. If you meet them, don't tell them. they're great. But dad once, I remember, he stood in our lounge room when I was a little boy. He came home from work. He must have had a bad day. He was eating beer nuts and drinking a Vic bitter. And he said, this family will never be wealthy. Declared it in the living room when I was a little boy. And, you know, those words can be like a generational plank in your eye.
Yeah.
Things that are said or spoken over you by other people in your life, it's like a plank. And when you're a Christian and you're busy trying to fix other people's little things, you've got to get rid of that generational filter that's been put there by other people. It might be that your great-grandfather was a convict. And, you know, you've got, I've got convict blood. No, you don't. You've got the blood of the lamb, right? You don't have convict blood. You've got the blood of the lamb. Right? So that's a generational filter you just got to get rid of. And that's, I think, what Jesus was talking. Remember I said he was talking to his disciples, then the outer crowd, and he was talking to you through time? I think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about removing that generational stuff. In high school, the teacher might have said to you, you'll never amount to anything. But Jesus says you'll amount to everything because you're a child of God. So you will amount to everything. You already have. It's not about what others have said about you. Is this okay?
Yes.
in Solomon 2:15, it's not on the screens, but it says, "Beware the little foxes that get under the fence and they eat away at the vines." These are like little foxes as well. So be careful what you let in. Don't let the devil get a foothold on things that you say about yourself. About yourself. Not always about others. If you drive out the driveway and someone cuts you off because they're a bad driver and you call them a name, okay, fine. But don't say that about yourself, because it starts with you. And the more you take control of your tongue over your own life, the less the enemy's going to get a foothold. Because, you know, he can't do anything legally in the kingdom. The devil can't do anything legal. He's got no claim over your life until you blab it. You blab it, he grab it. He'll grab it and he'll hold it in front of you and say, "You said this about yourself. Save me doing it." He can retire now. TikTok's here. Because that's full of stuff that'll make you question what's going on. Number two. I want you to, this is like spiritual specsavers. I want you to get clarity through God's truth about you. This is another way to remove the plank out of your eye, so you can go help others. True clarity comes when we align our perspective with God's truth revealed in Scripture. By focusing on His promises and understanding who He says we are, which is what? Beloved, forgiven, redeemed. We can begin to see ourselves through His eyes, which have no log. His eyes are perfect. He sees you with perfect clarity. He sees you the day you were born. He sees you in your mother's womb. He sees you before you're in your mother's womb. He sees your last breath. He sees your last moments. He sees everything in between, all your muck-ups. He sees all your dirt. He sees all your good stuff. He sees it all. And He calls you beloved.
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking about when I caught up with Pastor Dave on this message the other day. I walked away thinking about my kids. One of them's here. And how when raising them, they might not have, sorry Jamie, might not have always been perfect. I'm talking about Jack, sweetie, not you. No chance he's tuning in on Facebook. He is probably sound asleep. And we found out even years later that they did things that we didn't know about, like writing in crayon underneath the coffee tables and little things. Things that don't matter. And as a parent, you love them so much, you write it off. You write the mistake off. Who's made a mistake here that they're still carrying around with them that makes them sometimes feel bad when they're in church? Anyone at all? It can't be no one. Right? Let it go!
Let it go!
Let it go! Let it go to God. Just let it go, because it's dealt with.
Yeah, it's good.
It's forgiven. It's rubbish. It's gone. It's burnt. It's dealt with. It's ashes.
Right, yeah.
Let it go. Let it go. It doesn't define you. If you were a bad person in your past, it doesn't define you. If you swore at the kids this morning, it doesn't define you. Probably shouldn't do it, but don't do it. But If you mucked up, let it go. Let it go. Let it go to God. It's the direction of where you let it go that matters. Let it go to Him. Don't carry it. Because if you carry it, it's a plank in your eye. And it stops you from being able to see other people as perfect and loved and redeemable. When you judge others, you first judge yourself. Stop doing that. Stop judging yourself. You are beloved, you are chosen, you are held in high regard, so much so that Jesus died for you on a cross. He endured the worst, most agonizing pain. So stop carrying it around.
Yeah.
Stop it. Be free. And when you're free, you can be happy, you can be joyful. Go and sin no more, sure. Don't load it back up again. Be free. And then when other people see you being free, they might say to you, "How come you're so happy? The world's rubbish. How come you're so happy?" You say, "Well, I know a guy. His name's Jesus. Want to know more?"
Yeah.
Want to know more? Click here. Subscribe. Come to church with me. As I finish, the band can come back up as I finish. And I've kind of touched on this. This is the third point. Self-judgment before judging others. Jesus teaches us here in this verse in Matthew to first examine ourselves before examining others. Here's my advice. Do it quickly. Do it quickly. Don't linger on your stuff. Do it quickly. Let the blood of the Lamb wash over you. Know that it's done. Know that it's dealt with. Go forward and sin no more. That's easy, right? When you read it. Apply it. Apply it. Because other people will see it. Here's the worst thing you can imagine. Oh, I thought she was a Christian. Did you hear what she said in the tea room? I heard she was a Christian. Did you see how she spoke back to her friend? I heard he was a Christian. He sure changed someone. I thought he was a Christian. Do you hear the language? Because people are looking at you. People are looking at me. I'm not perfect. No way. Hang around me for 10 minutes and you'll be going, Grant, remember that sermon you preached last week? Maybe you should listen to yourself. We've got to constantly remind each other of this. Disciples weren't perfect. They were arguing about who the best one was. Who'd be seated at the right hand of the Father? Who'd be there? They weren't perfect. Jesus still called them beloved. My encouragement today is don't be hard on yourself because you are not perfect. You are imperfect. And the good news of that is that we serve a God who is perfect. So we look to Him daily. We look to Him in every moment. And we thank Him because He chose us. He chose us. He died for you. He died for your next door neighbor. He died for the guy over the street whose dogs bark at 2 a.m. He died for the guy who caused those atrocities. He died for every single person here on earth and every single person on the earth that's ever lived on the earth under the earth's sun. On the planet, He died for every person that's ever lived and died here. And every single person has a choice to apply that knowledge of knowing that there is a King who came from heaven to earth to exchange Him for you, to exchange His life for your eternity. Everyone you know and everyone you meet has that choice. And when everyone you know and everyone you meet chooses to deny God, that's a choice too. But they're choosing that in eternity. But we have a choice while we're drawing breath to make a decision to follow Jesus. Here's my encouragement for you. Tell more people that. Be Christ's ambassadors and tell more people that. I've had this song stuck in my head all morning. I'm just going to say the lyrics of it. As we used to sing it in church. It says, He sent me to bring the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see and set the downtrodden free. Now go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. Now go tell everyone the news of the kingdom of God. We used to sing that. I don't know if you guys used to sing that in church when you're little. Just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my ambassadors throughout the world, the whole of the world. No one ever sung that in church. Just the recovering Catholic. Cool. But I'm glad we sang it because it's in my heart, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. go tell everyone. But start with yourself. Every day, in every way.
Yeah.
Plank out. It's done, it's dealt with. Then go tell everyone else about the joy of the kingdom of the Lord. Let's stand and praise God, and Pastor Dave will be back in just a minute.
Together, shall we meet you?